The following message was given by brothers Frank Hong and Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, November 18th, 2018. The title of the message is The Church as the New Man Engaging in Spiritual Warfare to Defeat God's Enemy and to Bring in the Kingdom of God. Scripture reading, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 28, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18, Revelation chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 5, 6, 10, and 11, Psalms chapter 110, verse 3, and Psalms chapter 149, verses 5 through 9.
Okay. To speak to your church today. Oh, make the church a church of your heart's desire, a church that fulfills your purpose. Give our fellowship to you this morning. Amen. Speak from all the saints. Amen. All called us to follow you. Amen. Consummate this age. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, saints. We had just finished the review of the book of Leviticus, and starting from this week, we have begun to get into the messages that were released in the Memorial Day conference on the spiritual warfare of the church as the new man. Of course, this is not arbitrary. We have many conferences, trainings, and the topics of all these conferences, I don't believe they're arbitrary. They're under a lot of considerations by the brothers. So this week, I had asked the Lord, why this topic? Why the matter of the spiritual warfare of the church as the new man? And the Lord reminded me, actually, in the beginning of this year, in the Chinese-speaking international conference held in Taiwan, the topic was similar. The topic at that conference is the goal of the Lord's recovery, the bringing forth of the one new man. The goal of the Lord's recovery, the bringing forth of the one new man. Amen. We're here as the Lord's recovery, not as a name that describes our group, but as something that the Lord wants to do. The Lord has a purpose, and we do have a sense that the Lord wants to finish up this age and come back and to fulfill and consummate His purpose. And for this, He needs the church to cooperate with Him, because He would not accomplish His purpose alone. He needs the church to fulfill and accomplish His purpose. Therefore, starting this year, we have seen that the Lord has led us to get into this matter of the church as the one new man. And I was quite touched with this matter. Why the aspect of the church as the one new man? Well, we know we are in the church, and we are part of the church. Many people go to church thinking the church is a physical building, but I trust that many of us have advanced a little bit to see that the church is not merely a physical building. The church is a group of people called out by God. Right? The word church in Greek, ecclesia, is the call-out assembly. We have been separated, and we have been called out, not for our own purpose, but for God to accomplish His purpose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, to the church which is in Corinth, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, right? So we are the assembly of the called out one. We are the church. This is the initial aspect of the church. Then further on, as we go to see in the book of Ephesians, the church has many other aspects that are higher and higher. The church is the body of Christ in chapter 2. Also, the church is the house of God. I believe many of us have enjoyed the church life. We have been gathered out of our own houses into God's family. The church is the family of God. Not only is it a dwelling place of God, but it's a family of God. So this is the type of church life that maybe we're used to. The church is very homey. The church is my home. I come to the church so that I can find a home. I can find companions. I can find comfort and care. Isn't this many times our sense and our desire and our feeling as we come into the church, right? The church is the family of God. The church also is the kingdom of God. But the church must advance, or our realization of the church must advance to continue to see that the church is also the new man. This is revealed in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, that the Lord, when he died on the cross, he created in himself one new man. And this Brother Lee considered as the highest aspect of the church. So I really had a sense this week that the Lord want our church life to be elevated to this aspect of the church. We need to realize that the church is the one new man that fulfills God's purpose. Of course, later on, we see that the church is also the bride of Christ. Christ is waiting, and he's preparing today. He's preparing us as his bride so that one day he will come back to marry us. Amen. So we have to grow in life. We also have to love him to the uttermost. Amen. That we will be the bride that he is waiting for. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, we see that the church is also the corporate warrior. This is not a separate aspect of the church, but this is actually a very important aspect of the church as the one new man. The church as the one new man fulfills God's purpose. Well, the term new man reminds us of the man that God created, right? Which has become old through the fall of man. But in Genesis 1:26, we see that God created man according to his image, after his likeness. And he desired that the church would have dominion over all things, over the fish of the earth, the birds of heaven, the cattle, and over all the earth, and especially over all the creeping things that creep upon the earth. So here we see that man is created not just to populate the earth. Of course, in verse 28 it says, be fruitful and multiply, and that them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Man is to is supposed to be populating the whole earth, but not just for himself. We see that the aspect of the church as the new man is very much for God's need, to solve God's problem. Amen. God has a problem. Or you say, well, how can God have any problem? Well, God has an enemy, and that's the source of his problem. And God created man with a free will in order to deal with his enemy. On a positive side, man is created to express God, to express all that he is. But on the negative side, God's intention in creating man is to exercise his dominion over the enemy. And this actually is a picture of the new man, of the church as the new man. The church as the new man is the corporate man in God's intention. And this new man will fulfill the dual purpose in God's creation of man. That is to express God and to represent God in his dominion. So as we're here living in the church, cooperating with God, we have to have a sense that we are engaging in spiritual warfare. Now, I am born in toward the end of the baby boomer generation. Actually, I think I'm technically the Generation X, the generation after baby boomer. So most of us here are born in a period of peace. We don't have that much sense when a nation is at war, right? But I was reading something this week, especially during the period of time in the First World War, when Hitler invaded Europe and it's almost about to take over the entire Europe, and that's the time when the United States joined the First World War. And at that time, the whole nation is at war. Not only are the soldiers who were sent to Europe to fight, but the entire nation had the sense that we are at war. So you may not be fighting there with guns, but even if you're going to factory to make automobile, to make airplanes, to make ammunitions, or you even be making buttons for the uniform for the soldiers. You have a sense that you are partaking in this war, that your country is at war. And that changes how you behave yourselves and live in your normal daily living. Yes, you may be a civilian. You may not be enrolled in the armed forces. But your mindset, your consideration is, my country is at war. And the things that I do for my country matters. Well, this week the Lord touched me that we need to have the same kind of sense as we're living in the church life. Yes, the church is sweet, the church is comforting, but the church also must be the new man, fighting for God's interest on the earth. So as we're living in the church life here today, we need to realize that we are in a spiritual warfare. And the spiritual warfare has its source in the conflict between the will of God and Satan's will. It's the war against two wills. God has a will that he wants to do something, but his enemy also rises up and has a will to counter, to want to frustrate what God is doing. Now, in order for God to deal with his enemy, he created man with a free will. So today, man individually, but I would say especially the church corporately, today stand in the position that we can side with Satan to go with his will, or we can side with God to actively pursue his will and go along with his will. And one matter I was very touched this week is that we cannot be passive. There is no middle ground. You can think, well, I don't want to side with Satan, but the will of God, many times to us, it may be optional. You might want to, the will of God is good, but I'm not sure if I want to follow it. Of course, in our saying, we all want to do the will of God. But in our living, practical living today, do we have a heart to actually follow the will of God? And this week, the Lord touches me the matter of passivity. No, if we don't actively decide, will is the organ for us to make choices. And daily we make a lot of choices. In the church life, we make a lot of choices. If we, and our not choosing or being passive is equivalent of saying no to God's will. An example was given this week that when a young man proposed to a lady with a nice engagement ring, if that lady just sit there and don't say anything, that silence, that passivity is equals a no. She needs to at least nod her head. Yes, I will marry you, right? You don't leave the guy hanging. If you don't say anything, that's equivalent to a no to that poor brother, right? So we have to decide. In many experiences that we have to decide. Often you may get a phone call or get a text. Brothers, how about you share a testimony in the gospel meeting this coming, in the next gospel meeting. We have to decide to say yes or to respond. Our non-respondence actually is saying no to the brothers. So I especially want to encourage all the young brothers and young sisters that when there is fellowship, when you're asked to do something, take the opportunity, say yes, follow the Lord, choose the Lord's will. We have to exercise our will to choose the Lord. Amen. And don't let us be passive. Praise the Lord. And also another matter that I enjoy is fighting the spiritual warfare. The practical way to put on all the armor of God revealed in Ephesians 6 is actually to seek fellowship with the saints. Last week we had a time with the high school junior and seniors. And the context is, of course, they're applying for college. And this is what we share with them concerning the two will between God and God's enemy. And we encourage them to choose to actively seek God's will. But also we need to realize that we are in the body. And the whole armor of God is given to the body.
Amen.
And when we seek fellowship, when we look for the older ones, and for them to find out, we have a lot of resources in the church, and they need to seek out. Don't be passive. They need to seek out fellowship. And that seeking out of fellowship is actually our putting on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That's very practical.
Amen.
But as we're living in the church life, let's not be passive.
Amen.
And let's seek the time to have fellowship with one another.
Amen.
So we have to realize that the spiritual warfare is not something individual. You're not fighting the battle alone.
Amen.
You are fighting in the body.
Right.
And the Lord has given plenty of supplies and covering to the body.
Right.
And we need to link ourselves in the body and to be under the covering of the body.
Amen.
Amen.
To pick up where our brother left off, we are not fighting this battle alone.
Amen.
We are fighting this battle in the body.
Amen.
And I was touched by this week, you know. Well, first of all, Genesis 1:28 struck me when it mentions this phrase, to subdue the earth, right? Usually we pay more attention to 1:26, image and dominion, but in this the verses this week, we had Genesis 1:26 and 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, etc. And I was struck by this, that this is our responsibility. The church has the responsibility not only to express the Lord, and that's image, but we have the responsibility to subdue the earth. That is dominion. We have the responsibility to overcome the enemy's usurpation of the earth. Right now, the enemy, you know, you look at the worldly situation and you realize the enemy does what he wants to do. But we have a responsibility, and this word struck me this week. The church has a responsibility. You know, whenever someone, you finish your education and you get a job, on your job, you have responsibility, and you take it seriously. If you don't take it seriously, you're not going to stay on the job. You'll be released from your job, right? And you'll be out of work. You have to bear the responsibility. And in a family, those of us who have children, we have responsibility, and you can't shirk it, and you don't shirk it. But in the church life, I don't know that we have the same realization. We have a responsibility, and that is to subdue Satan. That is to stop Satan's work in frustrating the kingdom from coming. Our responsibility is to bring in the kingdom, right? That is the church's responsibility. And I hope that we would take this very seriously. When we came to this conference in Kansas City, I was very impressed by this fellowship. And I'm very happy that we're reviewing it. You know, we need to rise up and bear this responsibility as the church. And now, the thing that, the next point I want to bring out about this is using Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, and chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 12, 28, we did not read yet. Maybe we could get that. Let's read Matthew 12, 28 together. But if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then the Spirit, kingdom of God has come upon you. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 12 was casting out the demons, and the Pharisees accused him of casting out the demons by the Beelzebub, the king of the demons. And he said, no, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He said, Satan's kingdom can't fight against Satan's kingdom, but the kingdom of God has come upon you. So when the Lord was on the earth, he was exercising dominion.
Amen.
When he stood there and there was a person who was demon-possessed, he just cast him out. Wherever the Lord was, there was no possibility for Satan's kingdom to be there. So the demons were cast out, people were healed, all kinds of things were happening. Why? Because the Lord Jesus was exercising the kingdom of God. bearing the responsibility of carrying out God's purpose in this aspect of dominion. And today, brothers and sisters, we are the continuation of this Christ. We are His body. We are His increase. We are His continuation. So it is our responsibility also that wherever we are, wherever the church is, the kingdom of Satan cannot be there. We have to be those who are bringing in the kingdom of God and subduing the enemy. And I have these, in the reading that we read, Brother Nee brought this out, that to subdue the enemy is costly. It doesn't come cheaply. You can do a lot of service in the church and still hold on to yourself in many aspects. But if you are going to exercise God's authority against Satan and subdue him and cast him out, nothing of the self can be there. We have to thoroughly deal with the self. And I was reminded of this section in Acts 19. You know, Paul was there. Let's look at those verses, Acts 19. Start with verse 11. Let's read these verses. And God did works of power of no ordinary kind through the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were carried away from his body to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits went out. But some of the Jewish exorcists, who also went about, took it upon themselves to name over those who had evil spirits the name of Jesus, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of a certain Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, Jesus I know, and with Paul I am acquainted, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt upon them, subdued both of them, and empowered them, so that they escaped out of that house naked and wounded. This really struck me. Yes, Paul I know, and with Jesus I know, but who are you? Who are you? He had no authority over that evil spirit because he was full of the self. He wanted to just show off and say, okay, I saw what happened. In the name of Jesus, you cast, get out of him, right? So I'll just do it. In the name of Jesus, get out of him. But he had no dealing, no experience of the cross, no dealing with the self, so there was no, the kingdom of God wasn't there. The Lord wasn't with him. Now Matthew 16:24, the Lord Jesus told us this, right? Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If we want to deal with the enemy, we have to deny the self. We have to experience the cross, because nothing of the self can remain. Nothing of the self can remain. And that is costly. All of our soul life, all of, you know, the things we want to do. You know, the Lord Jesus had a will. Even at Gethsemane, he prayed, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, you know, please. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He didn't want to go. He knew that it was going to be difficult to pass through the cross, but he didn't hold on to anything of himself. He said, Lord, your will be done. And we need to be the same. If we want to be those to bear the responsibility as the church so that nothing of the evil powers can, you know, affect us, even here in New York City. Church in New York City wants to be a lampstand, right? Shining out God's authority and executing His authority, then we all have to take up the cross, right? Deny the self, take up the cross, and follow the Lord. Now, there are just 3 points I want to cover from this week for our practical consideration. And these things have been with me a little bit since this conference. The first one is to pray, to pray. We had Matthew, of course, the Lord taught us to pray in this way. Matthew 6, verse 10, right? And let's read that verse, Matthew 6, verse 10. I don't think we had it in our list. The Lord taught us to pray in this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Is it heaven? So also, one more time. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so also. The Lord taught us to pray this way. So the first way to exercise God's authority and to be one with Him, even to deny the self, is to pray. And we have quite a burden related to this. We need a lot of prayer. We need to pray personally. We need to pray in small groups. And we need to come to the prayer meeting to pray. I feel because this is a corporate battle and this is a corporate matter, the prayer meeting, to me, is one of the most important meetings of the church. Prayer meeting is so important. And one of the things that we were impressed with the church in Addis Ababa when we went to Africa for the elders' training was they have about 300 or so in their Lord's Table meeting. And in the prayer meeting, they have 200 saints. Think about it, 200 in the prayer meeting. I'm thinking we have a little over 300 usually on the Lord's Day here. But in the prayer meeting, I'm afraid, even you add up all the home meetings, I'm not sure whether we even get to 100. I'm not sure. We have about 25 or 30 here. I know there's prayer meetings in the city over different parts of the city. Maybe we reach 100. But anyway, I just want to sound this call. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to fight this battle in the prayer meeting? Amen. We need to come together to pray. Of course, we need to pray individually. We have small groups. We have companions to pray with. All of the prayer is important. But my sense is the prayer meeting should be the topmost priority for us. To come together to fight this battle together with one another. And to pray, to bind the enemy. Right? No one gets saved without the enemy being bound. No one goes on and grows in life without the prayer. And for us to go on, even for our next generation to be raised up, we need to pray a lot for them, for the children, for the young people. A lot of needs of prayer for the enemy to be bound and for the Lord to have His testimony here in the city. So I hope that we could bring this to the Lord, open to the Lord to pray. You know, we started the English-speaking seniors meeting. Praise the Lord. Amen. On Wednesday mornings here at 9:30. And we've had 2 weeks together, and both times were really glorious. And this past week, we had some testimonies of some of the sisters, the older sisters, who have been very faithful to pray over all these years. You know, we have a sisters' prayer meeting, but there are also other sisters' prayer meeting besides the one at the hall here. And I don't know if you have noticed, but every Lord's Day, after the meeting here, there are sisters that pray here in the meeting hall, praying for all the needs of the church and praying for those leading brothers in the Lord's recovery. They have a lot of burden to pray, and they pray, I don't know, maybe even an hour after the meeting here on the Lord's Day. We need a lot of these prayer groups. Amen. And especially those of us who are older, maybe you've retired by now, you have a little more time on your hands, raise up a prayer meeting. Amen. Gather together with some saints to pray. And let's increase our prayer. And increase our corporate prayer together for the defeat of the enemy and to subdue the enemy here in New York City among us. Then the second point I have was in Psalm 110:3 related to our consecration. If we're going to be those who are bearing the responsibility to overcome the enemy, to give the Lord the space on earth, the kingdom on the earth today, we need to consecrate ourselves to Him. In Psalm 110, verse 3, we read that earlier, your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your warfare. We can read it together. Go ahead. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your warfare, in the splendor of your consecration. We need to offer ourselves willingly. This is related to what Frank mentioned. In the universe, there are only three wills: God's will, Satan's will, and our will. And whether or not the kingdom of God comes on the earth today, which is God's will, whether His will is manifested on the earth today, depends on where we set our will. Are we willing to side with the Lord? Are we willing to consecrate ourselves to the Lord completely? And this is the day of the warfare. We're in the midst of the warfare. We saw that this week in Revelation 12. This woman is bearing the man-child and trying to bring forth the man-child right now. It's not just something for the future. It's right now. And we need to be willing to join with the Lord and cooperate with the Lord by consecrating ourselves willingly in the day of His warfare. And then this to Him is very refreshing. This refreshes Him like the dew, right, in the morning is very refreshing. The Lord is happy when we consecrate ourselves to Him and give ourselves to Him, even to consecrate ourselves to Him to pray more. Set aside a time to pray. You have so many examples in the Bible. You know, for us to really be effective, maybe for us to be burdened to cooperate with the Lord, you need to see that there is a spiritual realm apart from the physical realm. There are things going on spiritually in the air right now apart from the physical realm. And it's so easy for us to be occupied with the physical realm. But we don't pay enough attention to the spiritual realm. That's why we had Daniel 10 this week, those verses, right? Daniel began to pray, and he prayed for 3 straight weeks, 21 days. Then the angel, probably Gabriel, but anyway, an angel came to him and said, "Daniel, I've been trying. As soon as you started to pray, I was sent to come and to strengthen you, to help you. But I was held by the king of Persia for 21 days. And that shows that these evil spirits, the demons, Satan's, I don't know, those who rebelled with Satan, they are ruling over the nations. And they are hindering the answer to our prayers. God wants to answer. He's sending someone to answer. But it's being hindered. There's a spiritual battle there. And that, in those verses in Daniel 10, he said, "Until Michael came to strengthen me, to help me, then I can come and to give you the answer." And he gave him the answer, gave him the vision in chapter 11. But my point is that there is a spiritual warfare going on right now in the heavenlies. And we need to realize that. And that should help us to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, to give ourselves for this fight. So we hope that we would, and if we consecrate ourselves to the Lord and give the Lord the way, there will be the way for us to make it to the prayer meeting more often. Amen. We can make it more often. I know a lot of things outwardly are hindering us. What is that? That's Satan's attack. Why am I the most tired Tuesday night? I don't work any harder on Tuesday than on Monday or Wednesday or any other day. But that's the hardest day to get to the prayer meeting. Why is that? Satan hates the prayer meeting. That's why we're so tired. We have so much, or something comes up, a lot of hindrances. But we need to realize this is the Satan's attack. There is a spiritual warfare going on. And we need to rise up to overcome that. Then the last point I want to mention is in Psalm 149, which we read at the end there. These verses were not in our morning watch this week, but they were in the outline of the message that we were covering this week. Let me just read this point in the outline. This is under Roman 4. The purpose of spiritual warfare is to bring in the kingdom of God. And letter C is the responsibility of the church is to continue the warfare that Christ fought on the earth. The church must continue the victorious work that Christ has carried out against Satan. And the verses are first Hebrews 4:2-14, right? That through death, he crushed the devil who has the power of death. He overcame him, right? The Lord has started. He is already the victor. He is the victor the victorious Christ over the devil. And we need to continue this work. And then the last verses in that point are Psalm 149, 5 through 9. You can look on them. I'd like to read them to you. Let the faithful ones exult in glory. Let them give a ringing shout upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment among the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor is for all the faithful ones. Hallelujah. This is related to our praise. And in the Lord's table, we sang this hymn, 1095, right? Our mouth shut up defeats us and wins the devil's smile. So why not open battle and chase him all the while, right? Our praises defeat the enemy. Not only our prayer defeats him, not only our consecration defeats him, but our praises defeat him. So every week at the Lord's table, at least to begin the week, we should have a meeting full of the praises to the Lord, full of the shouts of exultation of what God has done for us, of who He is and what He has accomplished. And then He is enthroned on the praises of the saints, right? What does that mean? When He is enthroned, Satan is defeated. And the kingdom of God is manifested more on the earth. And the glory of God is manifested more on the earth. So may we be those that pray more, that consecrate ourselves more, and that praise the Lord more in our daily life. This week, we had to go up to Connecticut for an event, and you know we had this terrible nor'easter, this storm in the afternoon. And so as my family was driving up there, you know, they got on the highway, forget it. I mean, there was no way to make this event on the highway. The 95 was shut down, and it couldn't get on anyway. And it just looked like we weren't going to make it, or my family wasn't going to make it. I had gone up earlier in the day by train. Anyway, point is that they just prayed in the car and opened in the car, and the Lord gave them a thought to get off the highway and just take the train up. And they were late, but they made it. They made it, you know. And then we were all rejoicing and praising the Lord, you know, that the Lord made the way for us. And I think praise is a marvelous way to defeat the enemy. And personally, I just feel I'm too short of praising. You know, when things happen, I'm praying desperately. But it's really good to just praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, You've already defeated the enemy.
Amen.
You've already won the battle.
Amen.
We're standing with You.
Amen.
And we're praising You for Your victory.
Amen.
Even though we don't see it yet.
Amen.
We know it's there.
Amen.
We know it's coming.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.